just doing this practice, right, of every night doing the wins from today and the three wins for tomorrow is helping me, you know, not hit the snooze, like swing my feet over the edge of the bed, put them on the ground and get started. Cause there's a, I want to get these three things done. So that is pretty phenomenal.
Whether you're thinking about adding private money lending to your portfolio or you're on your 10th deal, this podcast is just for you. Grow with Lila is for everyday people who want to grow their passive income, take more control over their investments, and get into real estate without swinging a hammer. Hey, I'm your host, Lila Zayed. I've been standing up new lines of revenue for 20 years. And after doing everything from building sales teams to monetizing solutions to bringing early stage B2B SaaS startups to market, I decided to dive headfirst into the world of private money lending, where even the modest returns are in double digits. As investing goes, private money lending is one of the more risky strategies. And even when your capital is secured by real estate, it can be a big effort to collect on that. So it helps that I'm a fish in water where there are tons of unknowns and hazards abound. I'm walking a few steps ahead, testing the riskiest hypotheses first, and I am sharing all my notes. Everything from big ideas to actionable step-by-step tactics that get results, so you can choose the right path for your own investments on your private money lending journey. Listen in to reveal the key decisions every PML faces before you face them and learn how to manage your risk, all while growing your entrepreneurial skills and mindset. Whether you're PML curious or an accomplished lender, each episode is designed to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies for starting and growing your private money lending business today. Today's episode of Grow with Lila is so special. It's our very first episode of its kind. It's a book club for private money lenders. And because private money lending is my business, business books are a great way for me to learn from some of the most successful entrepreneurs, experts, and coaches out there. I learn about everything from mindset to systems, industry topics. And because book clubs are always better with pals, we're inviting other private money lenders, real estate investors, and other industry experts to join us for each juicy episode. While we'll share a short summary of the book, mostly we'll talk about how we've implemented the book in our own businesses, how those strategies became action, as well as lessons learned and the impact we're seeing as a result. And today's episode is so, so special because not only is it our first book club episode ever, but also a holiday week during which we center in on gratitude and family. So I am over the moon to welcome my very own husband, John Land, to Grow with Lila. In addition to being the love of my life, John is a road cyclist, puzzle enthusiast, Navy veteran, and he's a partner at Mercer, where he helps large and multinational companies with HR transformation and recognition program design. Welcome, hubby.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Today, we're talking about Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy's book, The Gap and the Gain. I'm reading from the book jacket here. Most people, especially highly ambitious people, are unhappy because of how they measure their progress. We all have an ideal, a moving target that is always out of reach. When we measure ourselves against that idea, we're in the gap. However, when we measure ourselves against our previous selves, we are in the gain. And this book, published in 2021, with all it has to offer, is what we are here to talk about today. So, hubby, I knew I had to dig into this book because I was making huge changes in my life. I mean, you know, you had a front row seat to that. I left my day job with no intention of re-entering a W-2. I was really doubling down on what had been a side hustle in real estate investing, and I was growing a new area of expertise, private money lending. Even though I was working a lot, building my professional network, studying, applying new skills like underwriting and due diligence, and I was sourcing and analyzing deals, and I was even deploying capital into real estate-backed deals, but I just felt like I was getting nowhere. I had heard about this book in my professional circles, and I hoped it would bring me a sense of satisfaction around the success that I was having. So, John, you are an incredibly successful guy. When I toss this idea out to you, that you read this book and come on my show and talk about it, why did you take me up on that? Why did you think that would be a good idea?
Oh, that's a really good question. I've been watching you really grow and develop a lot of new muscles and skills around your business. I've also seen you achieving a level of happiness that, frankly, I really admire and want to have as well. So as you've been reading these different business books and sharing ideas with me, I've been gaining in perspective too. So picking up the gap in the gain, you're asking me to come on this show, which I am absolutely delighted to do, has been great because I think the concepts aren't new, but they're framed in a way that really make them simple and make them actionable. And even though I still am in a W-2, I am taking a lot of things away from this into just daily practice to help me remain present and be happier.
Ooh, beautiful. I love that. Everybody loves a happy spouse, no? So, all right. Well, so tell me about that. What were two or three of your big takeaways?
I think some of them were the big takeaways were putting the yardstick behind you.
Right? What do you mean by that?
I think for most of my life, I have looked at ideals. I've looked at people that I admired or people that I see as peers, and I've seen them and I've compared myself to them. And that has made me unhappy. I'm like, we had similar backgrounds, similar education, similar opportunities. And, you know, this one's an astronaut. This one's a governor of a state, right? And I'm thinking, right, wow, like that's really impressive. But also measuring myself against an ideal, right? An ideal that I think society kind of wants us to measure ourselves against ideals. Instead, when I say, well, where have I been? What's my life journey been? And how am I doing from where I started? That is, you know, I feel inflated. I feel accomplished, right? And that gives me a sense of just wanting to accomplish more, right? Just to keep moving forward and keep improving who I am so that I can show up better for those around me and my community.
Yeah. One of the reasons that we decided to share this episode this week is because this week is the week of Thanksgiving. And in our family, that means it's a week of gratitude. It's a week of sharing time with loved ones. It's a little bit about pie for me.
Definitely.
So tell me a little bit about the theme of gratitude and how that really sort of colors your understanding of the gain.
For me, gratitude is not needing. I still want, but I don't need. It's being happy with what I have and grateful, gratitude, right? For what I have that, I have a beautiful relationship with you. I've got better relations with my other family members than I probably have had since I was a child. I have everything that I want. I have a home that's heated and warm and cozy and full of food. And instead of being like, oh, I still don't have that Range Rover Defender that I've always wanted, right? That's okay, right? I'm still super happy. And if I were to continue life where I am right now, I think I could, you know, be happy with gratitude. I still want other things, but I don't need them. And that's an amazing thing.
Mm. You said that if you stayed right here, it would be enough for the rest of your days. And that is a beautiful thing. And to bring it back to the book, which is about the gains, you don't really stay where you are exactly, do you? Things change. How have the themes of the book shown you how much progress you're making each day?
Mm. Well, I love the idea, right, that where the book walks you through an exercise of what have your gains been over the last 10 years, right? Then breaking it down, I think it's to 5, then it's to 1. And then, you know, what were your gains in the last 90 days? What are your gains last week? And what were your gains yesterday? I think this really brings it home that you know, I've had some really large gains over the years. And I have gains every day, you know, call them wins, right? Mm-hmm. As the book, they call them wins. What are my big wins? And that is just amazing because when I let my own squirrel loose on its cage in my brain, right? It's going on the, you know, just running around. I can think of all the negative things, right? And it's an intentional practice for me to think about the gratitude and what is good. And I think even in the book, they mentioned that we as humans are hardwired that way to, you know, we're always scanning the horizon. We're always looking in the tall grass. So we're kind of pre-programmed to look for what's going to jump out and kill us versus, you know, what we have and, you know, what is bringing us joy and happiness in our life.
And that really helps if there are tigers around.
It does. It does. Right. Yeah. I've avoided several tigers.
You know, one key takeaway for me in reading The Gap and the Gain is that I can be wherever I am, that I can trust the process. I can define my own success criteria. I can embrace what I want and let go of the idea that something has to be a specific way to be a win. I mean, one example of that is that I'm a major goal setter, and you know that about me, hubby. But for our listeners, I'm just really goal-oriented. I've got a background in revenue, and that's just how it is. Set a goal, achieve it. Set a goal, exceed it. And when I set a goal and I don't hit it, what then? Is it a devastating loss? Is it a huge major fail? Or is there another kind of a win in that experience? And that's what I mean when I say I can be wherever I am and trust the process. I can embrace what I want about any given experience and just let go of that idea that I made up about what it was supposed to be like. Because, you know, I might be pretty cool as far as people go, but I really am pretty limited. I'm just a person. And I don't really need to know all of that in advance. And I can be along for the ride. It makes me feel psychologically safer. Like, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have perfect results. Instead, I can just own where I am right now and work from there. The Gap and the Gain, I think, gives me permission to start over every day, every minute if I want to.
I agree with that. I think it really does. There was something in the book that I found really interesting. Reality is measured backwards. I love that. I love that statement because I've always measured forward, right? And the future isn't reality. There are a million different potential realities in the future. That doesn't mean that I don't shoot for an ideal. And the book outlines this, right? Like an ideal is a you know, something, I forget the language, but I took it away as a spotlight, something kind of showing me the path forward. Yet my ideal is always going to change because I'm always changing. That is why I love measuring backwards, because that is real. I can really actually see where I am today and where I was yesterday, 90 days ago, a year ago, 10 years ago.
I love that. It's also, I love what you said there. It's real. And when you said that, John, it jumped for me that when I measure the journey of where I was against where I think I'm supposed to be, I'm not measuring anything real. I'm only measuring my expectations and whether or not I think I'm a loser, mm-hmm. essentially. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, another thing about measuring backwards is that I can see how far I've come. And, you know, I've come pretty far and I can't wait to go and see what's next. But when I look in my rearview mirror, I just feel like I have a lot to celebrate. And that makes me feel hopeful about all of the celebrations in our future. But also, it makes me feel really resilient when I look at how far I've come and what I've lived through so far. I think, boy, look at those things I navigated. And I did it with less experience, less wisdom, less resources than I have now. And so what is it I can't handle? I don't really need to know what is on the path in front of me exactly. I can set a goal. I can work my way towards that, but I can accept what has really happened and take that as a win.
I love that. I love how you say it helps you build resilience. I think gratitude does, and measuring backwards does help. It helps me as well, Lila, with resilience. Like most people, right? I've had some challenges right through my life. And a lot of times I want to kind of continue dwelling on those negatives versus the positives. So with gratitude in particular, that practice kind of, let's say, building my gratitude muscle, I'm still going to have to live life on life's terms every day. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to go great all the time. Things are going to go off the rails. Things are going to go bad. And with gratitude fortified resilience, I can persevere through those and even grow through those, which is amazing.
Talk to me about implementation. What exercises have you done or changes have you made that were inspired by the book?
I think the biggest one, which I absolutely love, is so small and so easy. At the end of my day, every day, I write down what were my wins for the day, whether big or small, just things that I think are wins, and what are the three wins, so only three wins that I want to achieve tomorrow. And that really has helped me quite a bit. I go to bed feeling accomplished, positive, and I wake up wanting to get out of bed because I know three things that I'm excited about doing. Because when I write down my wins for tomorrow, they don't always have to be about work. They don't always have to be about getting ahead. They could be just simple things like spending time with you, right? At the end of the day, that's, man, is that amazing, right?
I love that one.
when I get to then the next night, kind of write down what were my wins. The amazing thing too is I always write down more than three for that day, and it's like overachievement. And again, it just fills my tank with gratitude that I can just work this simple practice in. And that's really what I've taken away from the book. I mean, there's other things too, which I've known before, but they, you know, Dan and Ben, the authors of this book, really bring to light and make more tangible for me, such as not comparison, right? And they have a quote from Theodore Roosevelt that comparison is the thief of happiness. And I just love that, right? At first I read it and I kind of tilted my head to the side. I'm like, what? And then I was like, oh, and I'm like, absolutely. Because again, that's my default. I want to compare myself against what I think I should be, other people out there who I admire and want to be like. And it's okay to want to be like them, but to compare myself to them, that is just, you know, puts me in a place of lack.
Mm. It also gets us away from reality again, right? If measuring backwards is looking at the actual data, that 24 hours ago, I hadn't lifted weights in 24 hours, right? And then today I did. That's real. That's something that happened. That's the truth. But when I compare myself to a bodybuilder and I say, wow, she's got super ripply muscles, and I don't, you know, I'm not really looking at my reality anymore.
Yeah. Looking at other people's reality.
Yeah.
Again, just that's being in the gap, right? That's being frustrated or low self-esteem, which is something that I've identified in myself, is that my default is to have low self-esteem. And a lot of people look at me like I'm a partner at a firm. I've had a lot of successes, but I think it goes back still. It's like I'm still trying to measure myself against an ideal. And this book is helping me look at that differently and, you know, kind of putting down my low self-esteem and starting to like myself better.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was one of the themes in the book and something that our authors demystified for me a bit. This book is written for high achievers. Benjamin Hardy has a PhD in psychology, and he dives into why high achievers have low self-esteem. And he talks about how being a high achiever means thinking we're the loseriest of the bunch. And we simply won't be acceptable until we've done more and had better results than anybody else in the room, which is, you know, just a kind of stinking thinking. It's not helpful. It's not true. It's not useful. And it really slows us down as we bring that around into certainly our family relationships, but even at work. One example in the book that I loved, and I know you did too, is that example of that man who said, if I could just put $5 million to work in investments, then I'll be happy. And then he got there and he said, well, I guess I need 10, you know, and then he got there and he still wasn't happy. I mean, the story went on and on, but you can tell where it was going. Low self-esteem is one way to describe it, but it's specifically this way of thinking that we're never enough. It's never enough. Talk to me about, since putting into action a few of these book's ideas, you mentioned that you have a daily practice now of writing down the wins for the day and the key wins that you would like to achieve tomorrow. Talk to me about what kinds of lasting changes or results you're seeing, changes in your mindset, changes in your workflow. How might it be affecting your business? Talk to us about that.
Mm-hmm. I think the most immediate thing for me is, you know, with the change of season here in the Northeast, I've really noticed that I struggle with getting out of bed when the light changes.
Oh, it's so dark. Gosh. Dear listeners, we are in Portland, Maine, and the sun starts going down at 3:30 in the afternoon now.
Yeah. And it's for me in the morning too. I like getting up and getting started. And in that change of season, I am like stuck to my sheets. I want to hit snooze over and over and over. Just doing this practice, right, of every night doing the wins from today and the three wins for tomorrow is helping me, you know, not hit the snooze. Like swing my feet over the edge of the bed, put them on the ground and get started. Because I want to get these three things done. So that is pretty phenomenal. I've also kind of noted in my calendar an annual review, kind of the look back over time to say, let's look back now over 10 years, right? Because my perception over what's a big win year over year over the last 10 years, I bet you is going to change, right? It's not static. It's what do I remember? How do I remember it? Who am I today that I'm now looking back and saying, ah, this was really a big win? But then doing that for, again, that kind of countdown, I'll call it, the 10 years, the 1 year, the so on and so forth. So I haven't done that yet, but I'm actually really looking forward to it already, because I just think that's a game changer for me, is just putting that yardstick behind me. And I heard that from a mentor of mine about the yardstick before. So I've kind of mixed that in with that doesn't necessarily come from the book, but it's definitely gives me a great visual to use as well. Like just, you know, a good old fashioned yardstick and putting it down behind me, because frankly, if I just move ahead an inch, I'm still in the gain.
Yeah, that's right. So our audience is primarily made up of women who are new or aspiring private money lenders. Do you think they should read this book? Do you think they should pass it up? Tell us why.
I think you listeners should read this book. I think you should share it with your significant other too. I think one of the beautiful things about your journey, Lila, is that you share really openly with me, and I get to cheer you on. And also, you know, there's my gains and there are our gains, right? We're in this together. And I think coming along on this journey with you, I think this language of the gap and the gain can really help not only you all with your businesses, but you all with your relationships. Just like I think we're talking more about the gain versus the gap. And how do we think about that even in our own lives and where we're going together?
That's right. And I know I've started talking to our son. We have a 14-year-old here at home, just started high school this year. And I'm so grateful that I now have this language and this framework to share with him. And it's become part of our daily conversation. What were your wins today? What do you hope your wins will be tomorrow? And it's changing not just how I approach my business or my physical health or even our relationship. It's just changed how we talk and how we think of things here in our family.
Yeah, definitely. One other thing I think now for the listeners, my thought is that how you do in your business is impacted by how you're doing in the rest of your life and vice versa. This idea of compartmentalizing things, I think, is unrealistic. So if you can kind of bring this gap and gain, not only to your business, but to your life, it will only bring you gratitude and happiness. It's amazing.
I love that. I want to say thank you so much, hubby, for joining us on today's episode, everybody, John Land. May you all have a very happy, loving holiday with your loved ones. And if you're looking to begin your private money lending journey, as I have, I've got a resource for you. It's a cheat sheet. It's a roadmap I wish I had had. It's a treasure map that reveals plain as day the obstacles faced by every PML and the 10 most common and most costly mistakes made by women who are new to private money lending. And best yet, how to avoid them. Whether you've not yet done your first deal or you've been skating by on sheer dumb luck, this freebie could save you tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of wasted dollars and so much time. Other women have shared these hard lessons learned so you don't have to fall flat on your face and instead can better manage your risk and maximize your wins. Download your I Want to Make Money, Not Lose It cheat sheet today at growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's it for today's episode. I'm your host, Lila Zayed. If you have a pal who could use this episode or more like it, please, please share the link. And if you haven't yet, hit subscribe and follow this podcast so you never miss a thing. I can't wait to connect again next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, here's to your health, your wealth, your freedom, and your joy.